Napa know-how.
Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Today's podcast is brought to you by SteinerSports.com. Use the promo code ALMIGHTY in all caps, and you'll receive 20% off purchase memorabilia. Once again, use the promo code ALMIGHTY in all caps, and you'll receive 20% off sports memorabilia from SteinerSports.com. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of The Fast Break. I am your host, Blake Rogers, and we're going back to back. Not bringing it up because, you know, Nicki Minaj and Meek Mill broke up. No, that's not why I brought it up. I brought it up because we got James to the D, Ella A, from the waiver wire on The Fast Break.
Long live the Drake Empire, Blake.
Yes, long live the OVO Empire.
How you doing, everyone? It's great to go back-to-back with you, Blake. You know, I'm just getting used to having you on the podcast.
I know, man. We're getting our chemistry right. We got to go have our own special.
We don't need to worry about him, man. He's gone.
Hey, like I said, man, I'm staying out of it. It's none of my business.
I'm not stepping on anyone's toes. I'm just going to stay quiet.
I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. let's explain why we're here. James, you want to let them know what are we talking about on today's podcast?
Today we're just going to, I think because of you, Blake, you've decided that there's been so many good backcourts this season. We just decided we have to rank them all.
Yeah, we're getting our another Drake reference. We're having our top five best backcourt in the NBA. We're having too much fun in this podcast already. Hopefully, we don't go like Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless just going at each other's throats for half an hour. But I think before we start anything, there gonna be some people like, what the heck are you, like, stay off the weed, Stephen A. Smith voice. But Kemba Walker and Nicholas Batum is off the top five. I'm sorry, Charlotte fans, get over it. we have our best of the rest. But let's start with our number five. James, who is your number five best backcourt in the NBA?
Well, it's controversial, Blake, because I've actually gone with Nick Batum and Kemba Walker, because I just feel that all the offensive production in Charlotte really just comes from those two in the backcourt. Batum is like the second, well, he's considered the secondary passer in that team, but really he runs the offense a lot of the times, and him and Kemba really distribute well and score. They take the bulk of the points too, so they have Cody Zeller, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and Marvin Williams, who I'm pretty sure Batum and Kemba combine for more points than those three every single game. So it's just they take such a load in Charlotte, and they really, really drive that team. So Batum has been fantastic this year. I mean, he struggled in Portland in his last year, and people were wondering if he was any good anymore. But he's really progressed well, and averaging 15 points, 7 assists, and 5 rebounds is pretty fantastic from the tall Frenchman. And he's complemented well by Kemba Walker, who's fantastic at getting to the rim and scoring through traffic. So I think they're a nice backcourt that complements each other's skills nicely.
Yeah, you know, it's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, I personally left them out. But, if not, they're like number six. Batum does it all. Both of them can be nominated for the All-Star team in the East. You can make an argument for both of them. Batum is just a bag of all trades. I guess the way we can you go in deep, like, how did you rank your top five? Like, what was your thought process of, okay, these are my top five backcourts due to record and everything like that?
Well, it was more to do with, I know with yours you looked at who took the brunt of the load. I mean, that played a factor in it, but I definitely looked at two kind of personalities who complement each other well, and they worked well as, like, they had a good chemistry, which is exactly why John Wall and Bradley Beal aren't on this list. IT, so these players, like, I've got IT and Avery Bradley in there further, because just someone like, there's the alpha male there in Isaiah Thomas, and then Avery Bradley's the workhorse, and he's the defender who locks down and everything, and they work well together. That's what I kind of looked for. So these, the ones I have in my top five kind of had good synergy between the players. And the only thing is, unfortunately, because Houston Rockets have a more conventional, don't have the conventional backcourt. They go with the three guards and try and split that up between the three of them. Couldn't get them on the list.
I like the chemistry part you put into that. I went for, I know Charlotte has a, you know, huge burden with Batum and Kemba carrying it. But I couldn't leading to my number five, Chris Paul and J.J. Redick. I'm sorry, Chris Paul has been the best point guard in the league for like the last 10 years now. There's no way I was going to leave him out. Him averaging 17 points a game, 9.5 assists, carries that Clippers team. I think you can trade Blake Griffin and the Clippers will still be a substantial team, not only in the West, but in the whole NBA. But let's not forget about J.J. Redick. 15 points a game, a third leading scorer on the team for the Clippers. And with Blake Griffin been out, you know, he's been carrying the brunt of that load. Now people talk about J.J. Redick. He plays second fiddle to Chris Paul and for a reason. But I like what J.J. brings to the table. Defensively, he has his moments as well. So Chris Paul and J.J. Redick made number five.
I like that. That's a pretty good choice. I mean, I was tossing up with them. They were probably in a tie with Harden and Beverly for number six with me. So I just feel like Chris Paul, like you said, just controls that whole Clipper team. Look how much they've struggled since he's gone out. With Blake Griffin, they managed to survive, and they did all right. But when Chris Paul went down for that week or so, I don't think they won a game. So it just really shows how important he is to that team. And without him, I really think they'd fall apart.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to move to your number four?
I've been with Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley, as I said before, because I think this year Isaiah Thomas is having his best season in the NBA by an absolute mile. He could end up being the starting point guard in the All-Star game for the East. Very close contest, but I reckon he'll sneak in there at number two.
Mm-hmm.
And Avery Bradley's also, he's had a breakout year this year. I really wasn't behind Evan Turner. Him and Evan Turner, they really didn't know where to go with that, and I think they made the good decision in shipping out Evan Turner. So it's really all focused on Avery Bradley now at that starting shooting guard spot. And he's really done well. I mean, defensively, he's been fantastic this year, and he's been a really good complement to Isaiah Thomas. When Isaiah Thomas has been scoring well, he's been shooting the three well and really getting to the rack and pushing the issue. So I think they've moved up quite highly in these rankings to where they were at the start of last year.
Yeah, just to add on more to that, I do have Isaiah and Avery actually higher up my list. But in other years, if Harden and Westbrook didn't have such insane seasons season that they're having right now, Isaiah Thomas would be up for MVP in most seasons.
Yeah, he's doing a lot there for Boston. I mean, they brought in Al Horford to kind of share the load with Isaiah Thomas, but it's just made Isaiah Thomas even better, and the star is shining even stronger this season.
I'm going to move on to my number four backcourt. A backcourt you didn't have in due to the lack of chemistry, but I like the stats, I like the numbers they put up, and that is John Wall and Bradley Beal. It's not much to say here. They're averaging over 20 apiece. John Wall, for the most part, carries that team. But Bradley Beal definitely helps out. And with John Wall averaging 24 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds, I mean, what more can you ask for a roster that is just, it's just bad. It's a bad roster. That bench is brutal. And yes, they're at 16-18. The playoffs started today. They wouldn't be in the playoffs. But dude, I just like John Wall and Bradley Beal so much. John Wall is just too talented. Same thing with the Chris Paul. They're both too talented and carry too much of a load for their team that I had to put them on the list.
Well, it's pretty simple for me why I left them off the list. I mean, looking at pure talent, they'd probably be second or first on this list, because John Wall is definitely one of the best point guards in the East, and Bradley Beal is probably one of the best shooting guards in the East. It's just the fact that they don't like each other. Bradley Beal has said that he doesn't like John Wall, and they've admitted in public that they don't like each other, so that just can't be good. So I don't think that Bradley Beal will hang around too long, to be honest with you. I have a feeling that he may end up being shipped out before the end of this contract, or even if when his contract expires, he'll sign somewhere else. But I can't see these two being a backcourt duo for too much longer. That's really the only reason why they're not on my list. Because otherwise, I mean, Bradley Beal's a knockdown three-point shooter and he can score in a number of ways, and John Wall just gets assists for fun these days. So they're pretty talented. It's just the chemistry isn't there between them.
Do you think it's like an alpha ego type of thing?
Yeah, I do feel like Bradley Beal wants to be the number one, even though he doesn't have the skill set, in my opinion, to be the number one. I just think he needs to, kind of like the Dwight Howard situation. They want to be the number one on the team, and they have the ego for the number one player on the team, but they don't realize what they struggle in, their deficiencies. They don't understand that they need someone else there to help them. That's kind of my issue with him.
They're kind of delusional.
yeah, that's cool. That's a good word.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And it sucks because I feel like if they did like each other, that team can be so much more better. And they actually, trust each other and, actually liked each other.
Yeah, well, these two carry that whole team. If you look at the Washington roster, Gortat, Porter, Beal, and Wall deliver every single game, and they've been fantastic this season. But if you look at that bench, it is just a terrible, terrible bench, and the coaching to go with it isn't too flash. I'm not a huge fan of Scott Brooks. So I feel like Marcus Thornton, Thomas Santoransky, got Jason Smith coming off the bench. It's not ideal, really, and they lose a lot of leads because of them. So I really think that backcourt is actually pretty good. It's just if they liked each other, they could take this team to a whole new height.
Yeah, and I like how you brought the Scott Brooks situation because, dude, I mean, I hate to say it, but like, he was a product of having, yes, he developed Westbrook. You know what? I don't even want to say that because when Scott Brooks left, Westbrook is just a whole nother beast. I can argue that Billy Donovan made Westbrook better. I mean,
yeah. Well, if you look at them, he had Serge Ibaka, James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook all on the same team. At that point in time, they were probably four of the best 10 players in the NBA. So, I mean, it really didn't matter how good of a coach Scott Brooks was. And I just feel like he really was a product of how much talent he had on that team. So I think he's getting found out in Washington, where he has to try and make creative plays for the bench that really just doesn't have any talent.
Yeah, and if I'm Bradley Beal, and I know this will never happen, but that bench is so bad and John Wall is so good, maybe you can swap out Marcus Thornton for Bradley Beal. Obviously, Bradley Beal will never do that due to his ego, but Bradley Beal off the bench, even though he's young in his career, He'll have no problem sparking that bench and take as many shots as he wants.
Yeah, I think, well, even Scott Brooks should be looking to stagger at least John Wall's minutes to be playing with that bench, because Marcus Thornton is, we've seen, what he's there for is to knock down shots. And once he gets hot, no one can stop him. So someone like John Wall feeding him the ball, he's not going to miss. So I feel like if Brooks was smarter on that part, he could try and stagger him. I mean, John Wall probably needs to be playing more than, I think he's averaging 32 minutes a game or something similar to that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think he needs to be playing more if they want any chance of making the playoffs, because that bench is terrible. And it's like Santoransky is young and he can't run an offense to like a level that they need.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Let me move on to my number three. And this one, I kind of flip-flopped. It was like, there were two, there were three, there were four. But I can happily say that I have Dame Dalla and CJ McCollum at number three on my top five backcourts. Both averaging 20 a game. And that plays a role in me. If you average more than 20 together, I have to reward you for that. Dame averaging 27, CJ averaging 23. But not only that, I like they both have playmaking ability and they both can create their own shots. Where I think CJ McCollum is better than Bradley Beal and more of a combo guard. So that definitely knocks them up even higher. And yes, their record is struggling, 15 or 22, ninth in the West, but that eighth seed for the West, like Sacramento has the eighth seed right now. Portland can easily still make the playoffs. So I like, you know, I'm not, they're not known for their defense, but I like the points they can generate. I like their upside. So I have them at number three.
Yeah, I have Dame and CJ number three as well. Exactly those reasons you mentioned. If a backcourt can coexist together, be able to playmake and score efficiently, you get props from me. So I really, there's nothing really much to add to what you said. They're just a fantastic duo together, and they work well together as well.
Wow, that's probably the most... The most simple one we had. So let's move on to your number two, James.
For number two, see, this is kind of like a legacy pick, if you will. I mean, I've gone with Steph and Clay.
Okay.
Number two. Really, for the bulk of work they've done over the last 2 to 3 years is why they're in at number two. Yeah, Steph and Clay led the league in three-pointers together for, I think, maybe 3 or 4 years in a row. Will be broken this year by James Harden and Eric Gordon. Don't worry about that. But it's just what they did as a backcourt really set up the Warriors' run to their first championship in a very long time. So Steph's ability to stretch the floor and pull up from just about anywhere, and then combining that with also Clay's ability, just pure stroke, it stretches the floor so much for everyone else and gives so much all the other players on their team, like Draymond Green, so much room to facilitate and to work in, that it makes the Warriors team work so much better. I think if you didn't have players with such range like they do, the Warriors may struggle a bit more because there's not as much room to operate. So it's not only their ability to just score at will and then be fantastic playmakers, well, Steph, not really Clay, but Steph's ability to stretch the floor and make room for others is a super important factor. And also his highlight playability, the fact that he gets in there when they're down, say maybe 15 at home, if he does a special layup and an and one, it sets the whole home crowd up, and then everyone goes, like, feels better. And I've seen so many runs. If you look at the playoffs against Houston, Western Conference Finals, the amount of times Houston was up 10 to 15 points and Curry did something special, the crowd gets loud, everyone gets behind them, and his ability to spark runs with some pieces of brilliance is just something special that no one else in the league can match.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Steph has this weird pace of momentum, but the dude is just so spectacular. He has the fans, you know, behind him the whole time. I mean, Steph was the face of the league last year, for the past 2 years. So he definitely has that momentum and pace to him. And Clay, you know, dude, yep, went for how many points did he have? 68?
Yeah, something like, maybe 62.
62, yeah, something around there. I just know he wasn't breaking Kobe's record. You know what I mean? I mean, Clay is good in his own. You know, once he gets going, you know, who knows what can happen. Arguably the best shooters we have ever witnessed. I know that I have ever witnessed growing up. But for that reason, I'm a Warriors hater. I can't, you know what, if Durant was off this team, yes, they're in my top five without a doubt. But I can't reward you when you bring another MVP and, what, top three player in the league? I can't reward that backcourt because you can easily go to Durant and he can go whenever. So for that reason, I left them off, but I can see why you put them in.
I agree with you. It's a fair point. I mean, Steph and Clay may not be needed on some nights, but their help is definitely, like, it's helpful. But they can probably get it done by themselves without having Curry and Thompson go off.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, like I said, at that point, it's just like a personal preference type of thing.
Yeah. But
I definitely see your view. My number two, you had them on the list, Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley. Pretty much what you touched on, literally the yin and yang of this whole backcourt. I mean, Avery Bradley brings the defense. Isaiah Thomas brings the offense, and Avery Bradley really picks up where Isaiah struggles at, and vice versa. But, you know, the more so that Avery Bradley is leading the Boston Celtics in rebounds. Like, a shooting guard is leading his team in rebounds.
Yeah. Well, that's more, I mean, it's good for Avery Bradley, but it's really not a good sign for the Celtics.
Definitely not a good sign for the Celtics. With him averaging 6.9 boards a game, and then not only that, he's averaging, you know, 1.3 steals a game, and let's add on nearly 18 points on top of that. And I will argue this, that, like, Avery Bradley is top five two-way guard in the NBA and top 10 two-way player in the NBA. That's how much stock I have in Avery Bradley. And, you know, Isaiah Thomas is Isaiah Thomas.
Well, that's a pretty big breakout year for Avery Bradley if you've got him in your top 10 two-way players.
Yeah, I went there.
Well, where would you... See, would you say he's number five two-way guard in the league?
Yes.
He'd be cool. No, I can't... Well, who have you got... Tell me who you've got ahead of him, then. I'll put you on the spot here.
Clay. Put him on the spot. That's fine. Clay.
Yep.
Jimmy. Batum?
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
He's top five. I think he's up there, and maybe even I think he's better than Batum two-way wise. So, yeah, I think he's top five in there, man.
That's right. I can agree with you there.
But yeah, thank you for putting me on the spot. That's how much trust I have in having Avery Bradley.
Sorry about that.
So here, I think we both agree on the number one spot here.
We all know he's coming up here.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious, but you want to go ahead and tell them, James?
Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. You can explain why, Blake. I'm pretty sure I have nothing else to add to what you've got to say.
Okay, I guess I'll do that. it's just a no-brainer here. I mean, Rudy Gay being traded is probably the worst thing that ever happened to Rudy Gay, but the best thing that has ever happened to Lowry and DeRozan. I mean, these guys have put Toronto on the map, and... rightfully so, both averaging 20 apiece. DeRozan averaging 28, 5 and 5. Lowry averaging 21, 7 and 5. I mean, dude, they work well together too, and they're like brothers on the court. And, you know, that's that chemistry that we see on the court that, you know, Bradley Beal and John Wall, you know, do not have. And second in the East, you know, that's why I had to put them above Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas, but. Not much more to say, man. It's an obvious pick.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty obvious. They both average. DeMar DeRozan started the season like a house on fire with pretty much every single game that went past, he was scoring 30 points. And Kyle Lowry's really come along as one of the better three-point shooters in the league. I think there was a stretch of maybe 15 games this year where he shot 50% from three, which is absolutely insane considering the volume he puts them up with. Even though DeMar DeRozan isn't a three-point threat, Lowry's three-point threat makes up for that. He's shooting 45% from three this year from a point guard who they really should be closing out on. That's a fantastic mark for the volume he's shooting at and the fact that DeMar DeRozan doesn't shoot threes. That's pretty special from Kyle. And the only thing that would, I mean, really, that needs to be seen from these two is their ability in the playoffs. I mean, we've seen in the past that Lowry and DeRozan really haven't shown up for Toronto in the playoffs, and teams really focus on working those two out of the game. So we'll see this season. Maybe this is the year they finally get it right and they're able to show up in the playoffs. But, I mean, really, they still can't get past the Cavs because the Cavs, now that they have Kyle Korver there, it's going to be a big struggle to get past them.
Yeah, let's talk about the Kyle Korver trade.
That was a nice little segue for you, Blake. You're welcome.
Yeah, that was a great segue. That's why we're having a new show together. The world just don't know about it yet. Yeah, the Kyle Korver trade. Well, I seen it happen and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, then Twitter just explodes. Like, they started treating Kyle Korver like he was, you know, the next LeBron. And I'm like, okay, guys, let's calm down. What was your thoughts on the trade when you seen him with Dow?
Well, I really didn't see, Cleveland being the ones to trade for Kyle Korver, I didn't see that coming at all. And I didn't see the fact that Atlanta would be willing to deal with them either. This is one of their rivals in the East, and they're giving them a pretty good piece. I mean, Korver's obviously on his last legs. This will be his second last season probably. I reckon he'll go one more year. Or if he ends up winning a ring with the Cavs, this may be it. But boy, can that guy still knock down threes. If I saw it said somewhere, I can't remember who said it, being a three-point shooter on a LeBron team is the easiest job in the world because all you have to do is get the ball and just shoot. That's it. I mean, Mike Dunleavy was brought in for this role and he did it pretty well to start the season, but Tyronn Lue hasn't shown any confidence in him and Dunleavy's looking to get moved on now. So Korver will probably go into his role. That's about 20 minutes a game off the bench. And the whole thing he'll be doing is shooting threes. LeBron will create space for him, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love. These are some pretty good guys you've got spreading the floor and getting to the rim and stuff. So all he's going to do is hover around that arc and he'll get 4 or 5 easy, wide open 3-point shots a game. And I doubt he'll miss them, to be honest.
Yeah, I see the stat. I think it was from Bleacher Report. When left open, Kyle Korver shoots 49% from three. Now imagine playing with LeBron. That's gonna go spike up even more. And let's be honest, JR is having a bad year. He's not having a good year. That's a better way to put it. Training camp. I don't want the Henny Smith coming after me, man. We love you, J.R. Henny Smith. But, he came in training camp late, the contract situation, plus he's hurt on top of that. He won't be ready until the playoffs, and that's best case scenario if he's in rhythm. So I do like the Kyle Korver trade, veteran. Yes, he's on his last legs. I think nobody's arguing about that. But he can still shoot the ball. I was talking to my man, shout out Frank. He likes you too. He saw the Alexis Chelsea header on your Twitter, because I was with him in Cleveland. He's like, hey yo, tell James I like him. He's an Arsenal fan, but this is not FIFA.
Shout out Frank.
As I was touching on, he's gonna have that Ray Allen, Mike Miller type of role that in Miami. That's definitely going to be the role that Kyle Korver is going to play in Cleveland.
Yeah, well, he'll probably be starting for the time being until J.R. Smith comes back. And they've just got a lot of injuries there, Cleveland, at the moment. But I think he can definitely play a role for Cleveland in the last 2 years, and they're giving up nothing for him. They're giving a first-round pick, which will probably end up being pick maybe 28, 29. So if you're in a pursuit of a ring, the Cavs have clearly gone all in now. LeBron is defying belief to keep going at the level he's going at this age. So they're just going in all in. So, I mean, it's really not a big risk giving up a late first round pick and Mike Dunleavy for a pretty good knockdown shooter.
You know, I know Cleveland, they're still looking for a backup point guard as well. I know that Kay Fielder, you know, he's a rookie. Yeah. You know, he hasn't developed yet. And then you got Jordan McRae off the bench that you can sub in to play defense. And so I like that move. And for Atlanta, I like it too. I mean, then you open up more minutes for Dembry and Prince. So
And Hardaway and Cephalosha.
Yeah. So
we'll get all that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, still head scratcher on the Bazemore signing, but that's none of my business. But But overall, I think this trade actually works out for both parties.
Yeah, it's good for Atlanta in the fact that Korver was going to be a free agent at the end of this year and they get something back for him. And
yeah,
I think that this trade might not be all that important until we get to the finals. There may be one play where Kyle Korver's on the floor and he makes an important 3-point shot that no one else could make. That's really what all it could come down to. And in the end, if that's what gets you the ring, it's worth it. So that's all he needs to do.
Not much more to add on to that.
Yeah.
So, James, where can we find you at? I know we just did the latest episode on the waiver wire. Where is the waiver wire? I want to listen to the waiver wire.
Well, if you want to listen to me and Blake go back to back to back, you can check me out on at the waiver wire one. That's me and Timothy's fantasy basketball podcast. Blake was pretty fantastic on there. Provided some pretty good tips if you want to go check them out, and you'll win you a lot of money. Blake's a champion at DFS. Just under me and Tim's tutelage, he's learned a lot the last couple of weeks. So there's I'm on Twitter at James DeLea. If you can't spell it, just look at the waiver wire. My D's are all there. So yeah, check my podcast. Keep listening to The Fast Break with my boy Blake Rogers, because something special coming up over here, and we have to know good. That's why.
We are up to no good. We are always up to trouble. Shout out J. Cole. find both of us at almightyballer.com. We're on iTunes as well. Make sure you subscribe and listen. And we're on blogtalkradio.com, the Almighty Baller Network. James, I do believe that you have a promo code going for the waiver wire right now. Can you speak on that?
Yeah, we do. We With our guys over at PlayDraft.com. It's a new fantasy platform for our American players over there. So it's just, instead of your classic daily fantasy where you select your salary lineups, it follows a snake draft format. So deep knowledge of the NBA is required and incredibly important, as you only get to pick, no one has the same players. So they're offering a pretty good special at the moment. So your deposit gets matched up to $600. So using our promo code WayForWirePod, deposit whatever you feel like with that. And if you deposit $600, they'll give you $600 to play with as well on top of that. So it's a pretty good deal at the moment.
Check it out. It will not disappoint. James, man, as always, thanks for joining the show. Maybe we'll go for a triple-double next time and do another podcast next week.
No worries, Blake. It's always good to go back-to-back with you.
Absolutely. And as always, thank you for listening to The Fast Break. I am your host, Blake Rogers. Stay lit.